If you want a church full of Catholics who know their faith, love their faith, and practice their faith, wrote our former Wyoming Catholic colleague, theologian Peter Kwasniewski, give them a liturgy that is demanding, profound, and rigorous. They will rise to the challenge. This is the After Dinner Scholar, Wyoming Catholic College's weekly podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. Most Catholics know only the Roman or Latin rite of the Eucharist, the Novus Ordo. And that's not surprising, since that's the rite that is celebrated almost exclusively in most of our churches. But the Catholic Church has not one, not two, but 23 different rites falling into six basic families: Latin, Alexandrian, Antiochian, Armenian, Chaldean, and Constantinopolitan, better known as Byzantine. Our Wyoming Catholic College community is no stranger to the Byzantine rite in particular. A nearby priest has celebrated that rite, the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, with some regularity. And now we will all become even more familiar with the Byzantine liturgy as the college welcomes Father David Anderson as a second college chaplain. I asked Father David to begin by giving us a brief history of how a liturgy normally associated with the Eastern Orthodox Church made its way into the Catholic Church.
The Eastern Catholic Churches are those portions of the ancient apostolic churches of the eastern half of the great Roman Empire, therefore the Greek-speaking part of the Roman Empire. And just as the church everywhere became concentrated in the large cities, thus Rome and other cities in the west, of course, in the east, which we have to understand that now as what we refer to as the Eastern Mediterranean and the Middle East, we have the cities, of course, Jerusalem, where it all began, and Antioch and Alexandria in Egypt, and then eventually the new Rome of Emperor Constantine, which later is called Constantinople. The Eastern Catholic Churches are those portions of those ancient apostolic Orthodox churches that over the years entered or re-entered into communion with Rome. In the case of one of them, the Maronite Catholic Church, they were never out of communion with Rome. So the liturgical tradition of the Eastern churches, whether those in communion with Rome or at presently not, is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same.
Now, how are the Divine Liturgy and the Latin Roman Mass, not necessarily the Latin language Roman
right.
Mass, the same, and how do they differ?
One of the miracles of early Christianity is what could be called the shape of the liturgy. That without being prescribed, without being legislated concerning, everywhere, to use a phrase that was dear to one of the early church fathers, St. Irenaeus of Lyon, when he would like to describe the universal church, he would say, from Syria to Spain. And from Syria to Spain, from the sub-apostolic period at least, the generation immediately following the apostles, we find the same basic shape of liturgical worship. When speaking of the what is referred now in the Latin tradition as the Mass and what Eastern churches most often refer to as the Divine Liturgy, you have this gathering of the church to be the church, because the church can't be the church simply as individuals. They are those whom the Lord has gathered. The proclamation of the Word of God, often based much on the service that was common in the Jewish synagogues of that time. And then the offering of the Eucharist, which always included the bringing forth of the gifts of bread and wine to be offered, their consecration by what even Justin, martyr in the second century, referred to as the presider of the assembly praying at length, and then their reception as Holy Communion. So in that sense, every church that is apostolic in origin has that same shape of the liturgy. So that's what all liturgies have in common. Then in each particular church, there are features that are unique to that particular church that develop over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you visited Wyoming Catholic College last January, you spoke about the Eastern Catholic Church and the Western Catholic Church, Roman Constantinople, as complementary. I don't remember whether you said they were like two wings or I forget what
You used. I probably used the image that St. Pope John Paul II used, the two-longed image, which has become so popular now in the church. Okay. It can be a little misleading, because when people think of Western Catholicism, they think of the Roman Church, whereas the Eastern churches are several. There's a couple dozen of them.
Right.
So that long has a lot of a lot of rooms.
Well, now tell us about how those are two lungs, how they're complementary.
They each have. Well, let's begin by saying what how the Catholic Church defines herself. We say in the Creed, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and we use the word church in the singular. However, there is also a plurality to the church, just as to God there is singularity and plurality. God is one, God is three, and the two are not in tension with each other. And one doesn't come first and the three second. They are together always. So likewise, the Catholic Church, as canon law defines her, the Catholic Church singular, is a communion of particular churches, plural. And each one of those churches has not only a unique liturgical tradition, but a unique history, sometimes a particular language that is associated with a particular church, the church's own saints, the church's own fathers, the church's own, shall we call it, system of church government, and so forth.
How do these complement each other?
Well, in the sense, let's speak of the liturgy. One of the great treasures that the Eastern churches, and I'm from one of the traditions of the Eastern Church, the Byzantine tradition, which is descended from the churches of Constantinople and Jerusalem. What the Eastern churches have to offer the universal church is a sense of continuity of tradition that in some ways, not in every way, but in some ways have not undergone some of the instability and crisis that other expressions of the church have undergone. Two specific examples, always good to illustrate with examples, is that the Eastern churches never had a Eucharistic crisis. There was never a time in the Eastern churches where there was division over what the Holy Eucharist is. On the other hand, the Byzantine church did have a very great iconoclastic crisis, the whole division that occurred over those who denied the iconoclast, those who denied the use and veneration of sacred images. And that affects the history. In the West, of course, there have been many Eucharistic crises, one in the Middle Ages with the Albigensians, one later on in the Reformation, and ongoing from there. So, on the other hand, the Western Church, at least until the Reformation, did not go through that terrible crisis of iconoclasm. On the level of the liturgy, however, in modern times, there's been a considerable number of changes that have gone on, especially in the last several decades. By contrast, the liturgies used in the Eastern churches are basically as they were 1,500 years ago. So there is that, not that things are frozen in time and never change at all, but what changes there have been very slow and very organic. So there is that stability of worship that is a great gift that the Eastern churches can offer to the universal church. Also, the Eastern churches are, their spiritual theological formation was essentially accomplished in the first millennium during what is called the Patristic Age, the Age of the Fathers. Again, that doesn't mean that they've been frozen since then, but there is that rootedness in the lives, the teaching, the example of the fathers of the church that remains so central to Eastern Catholic as well as those of the Eastern Orthodox churches. And that I think is a great gift that we can offer to the church at large.
It's a lot of ballast.
Yeah.
Well, there's a persistent rumor that the Latin Mass, that is, the Mass in Latin, is all about nostalgic old people who remember it from their youth, when in fact it's the young people who continue to drive the renewal of traditional Latin Mass and traditional liturgy. Who are the Catholics attracted to the Divine Liturgy, to the Byzantine Church, and what is the attraction to them?
I would say that often when people, especially those coming from outside the communion of the Church, when people discover the historic church, the church that can be tangibly traced to the apostolic age, one of the things that they are looking for is clarity of doctrine and a worship-centered life that is theocentric. That is not, now obviously, something that is truly God-centered is centered properly also on creation. But through the eyes of God, God is always the subject of the sentence and creation is the predicate of the sentence. And therefore, when you have a time, as we're living in now, that those eternal realities and truths are, in so many cases and in so many cultures, either shaken or increasingly not to be found very easily. You have, from younger people who believe, a desire to return to the fount of the tradition, whether it's in the Western expression or in the Eastern churches. You find a great desire to be formed by the fullness of the liturgical tradition, not simply have worship as some sort of means of convenience or something that is done as as utilitarian a manner as possible, but something that is truly the expression of life. I always like to use an illustration from the great Jewish rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. In his book, The Sabbath, of course, it's in a Jewish context, but it applies very well for Christians too. He says that modern people have come to simply think of and use time as some sort of fuel to be burnt up in order that we can exercise our control over our little bit of space, what I call my life, instead of in Scripture and in the lives of the saints and in the tradition of the church, time becomes the door into eternity. That's what worship is for. That's what it accomplishes. And whether or not every young person who is drawn to the church could say it exactly as I've said it, that's what's at the heart of what's being looked for. This, as St. Paul says in the letter to the Ephesians, that we now reign above the heavens in Christ Jesus. And there needs to be the actual realization and experience of that. And so that, I think, explains the increasing love of younger Catholics, both Western and Eastern, to traditional forms of worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and summer is a great time if you're traveling on vacation to go to a Byzantine church or
yes.
go to an Antiochian church, Catholic church, and just try something different.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Now, what are you most looking forward to as you transition from parish life to college ministry?
Well, I've been a priest for, it'll be 36 years in just a couple of weeks.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. And all of those years, on the one hand, I have been a parish priest, but longer than that, I have been a teacher even before I was ordained. So the life of the college and the life of the parish have been active presences in all through the decades of my priestly ministry and even beforehand. But in coming to Wyoming Catholic College, I especially look forward to being a part of an institution of learning that I have come to see as very much on the, to use the cliche, the cutting edge of what Catholic education ought to be. And that is truly an immersion and formation in the fullness of the tradition of the Church. And I'm pleased to say that this college was forward enough looking, considering all of the Catholic colleges that we have in the United States, forward enough looking to become one of the, we might even be the first to have a resident Byzantine Catholic chaplain. So to provide maybe some of that respiratory therapy at the 2 months.
Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI wrote, "Like the rest of Christian revelation, the liturgy is inherently linked to beauty. It is veritatis splendor. The liturgy is a radiant expression of the paschal mystery in which Christ draws us to himself and calls us to communion." Close quote. And the more we soak in the beauty of the liturgy, including soaking in the various forms of the liturgy, the more that beauty transforms us as we reflect its splendor. Please pray for Father David Anderson this summer as he leaves a long and fruitful parish ministry and moves here to Lander and the world of college students. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.